for his peace passeth all understanding. Turn by us, please, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. We began the series of messages this morning. I have no idea how long it will last until the Lord says quit, because it's very lengthy, the study of Elisha, about the ministry of Elisha. What a study by the man of God. Of course, he wouldn't have been anything within himself, just a farm boy like I was. But God saw him and purposed, planned, orchestrated, arranged it. And then he anointed him and appointed him to be the prophet for Israel. God has his men in these days. Oh, it didn't start yesterday. God, before the foundation of the world, had it all figured out. He knows the last day. He knew the first day, and he knows everything. Let's look at the second chapter of the book of 2 Kings. We saw this morning Elisha was just out there another day farming, plowing his yoke of oxen behind 11 other yoke of oxen. His was the 12th, plowing through a field in the Jordan Valley. What a valley. Fertile ground. Don't seem like there was a rock in there. Just plowed, and here comes Elijah out of nowhere. And as he passed by, he just put his mantle, which means the mantle in those days was God's appointment, God's authority, and God's power. And that wasn't anything in the mantle. It was that God had appropriated Elijah for that task. And then he just went on. Elijah did his job, and Elisha, we saw, said, well, wait a minute. He ran after him. I like that. He didn't just hang around. He ran after him because he felt that touch of God and anointing. And he burned the plow, killed the oxen, ate the meat, and then he was following him. Didn't know a lot, no doubt, about the things of God, but he is following one that did. And God was teaching him. A few months goes by. I don't know how long. No one does. And Elijah still has his ministry, which that was in the 1 Kings 19, and then a couple of more chapters, the 3 goes on. Elijah still got his ministry. Don't know if Elisha was with him or not. Probably was. Not mentioned. Until again in chapter 2 of the book of 2 Kings. He seems to be the assistant, the one that's following, learning. Now we see the tides going to switch in the second chapter of the book of 2 Kings. Know the first verse. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Something's changing. You would think that Elisha would have been second and Elijah's leading and Elisha's following. That's not what it said. Look carefully. I never noticed that before. Elijah went with Elisha. Seems to me like Elisha's picked up on it. Elijah still has the mantle. He don't understand that. And no one else does. Theory doesn't accomplish much. If God said it in his word, it's true. But the mantle was put on Elisha. He received it. And then we see pretty soon that Elijah has it back. And Elisha's going to get it back. And right now in this verse, Elijah is following Elisha. Even though Elijah's still in charge, as we'll know in this chapter. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Bethel, house of God. It's interesting that that's where, remember, that God had called Jacob from, Bethel. Didn't used to be the name thereof, but God changed the name to Bethel, house of God. And then it was taken over by a wicked king, Jeroboam. He had went out there and said, we don't need to go to Jerusalem to worship anymore. We'll put these golden calves in Bethel. Boy, that sounded good. House of God. But the golden calves wasn't of God. And so he set up that worship. We see that it was torn down, and I don't know if it's rebuilt or not. Anyway, they're going back to Bethel, house of God. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said to him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And I have no surety, and I'm not sure that Elijah really wanted him to stay by himself. I think it was just a test, a trial, to see if Elisha's got his heart in it. And you can't follow God and be worth anything to God or anyone else if your heart, your whole heart, is not in it. It was probably just a test to see Elisha. Now, you know, I'm going to Bethel. Long way. It's a long journey up in the mountain country. You just stay here. I will not, under any circumstance, leave thee. Been too far to turn back now. Not going to miss anything God's got for me. I'm going to follow. Story continues. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view far off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let's look at about three different aspects of this text today. So much to look at. I want to speak to you now concerning the faithfulness of Elisha. This morning we saw the steadfastness of Elisha. He felt the touch, he felt the anointment, and he immediately left what he was doing and followed God. And when you do that with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, it will teach you faithfulness. He was faithful to do what God said to do. And God can use people like that. I'm not sure God's ever used a lot of people, read the scripture, that wasn't faithful. Faithful to the cause of God, faithful to the Word of God. I know a lot of people in the Word of God started out and turned back, but God is looking for faithful people. He's found one in Elisha. He's proved it so far. He's going to prove it yet again. He said, now I'm going up to Bethel. It's a long way up there. You just say, how will not? And he wasn't, you know, Elijah is a leader. He's not saying, I'm not going to follow your directions. I think he sensed, I really believe he sensed the fact it's just another test, another trial. So they go up there, and there was a purpose in it. There was 50 sons of the prophets up there, and no doubt Elijah was their leader. He was their teacher, and they were following him, and they would go out in the countryside, and they would do the work of God also. And it was no doubt the final meeting with Elijah and them up there. Then he said, I've got to go back down to Jericho. That's a long way back down. But notice the significance of these places. Bethel, of course, was where the word of God that was first came to Jacob. as Jacob headed out to leaving his brother, but he went back there. And he changed the name of the place to call it Bethel. But when he went back the second time, he said, it's not only the house of God, but I found it to be El Bethel, the God of the house of God. It's more than the house when the Lord shows up. It's his house. Say, we're going to Bethel. And I've said it probably 1,000 times from the pulpit of Fletcher. Anything worth anything will be centered around the house of God. Search it through, all the way through the scriptures. God uses faithfulness to his house to accomplish his means and his purpose. So they go to Bethel and they talk to the prophets. And the prophets already knew. I mean, God had spoken to them too and said, Elisha, this is your last day with the old boy. I know you've learned a lot. His head's going up today. Yeah, I know it. Kind of sad, of course, to see such a great one leave, knowing full well that the responsibility would be on his shoulders after that. It wasn't just that Elijah's going to leave, but now I'm going to have to assume responsibility. I'm going to have to be the one in charge and listening to what God tells me. I can't go to him for advice anymore. All preachers need someone. My mentor in my lifetime has been Dr. J. Harold Smith and Dr. Percy Ray. And then they're both gone. And I guess somehow, some way, you need to grow up sometime and be one that you can go straight to God, because you don't have any other great men of God to go to. But God is always going to be there, and he would be for Elisha, too. Elisha can't go to Elijah anymore, not after today. It's just him and God. And what better purpose, what better source could you go to anyway than to God? So they go back down to Jericho, and when they get down there, Jericho is significant. Remember, Jericho is a place where they were there, and that was the first great victory that was won when the children of Israel were crossing the Jordan and going into the Promised Land. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down, and that was very significant. And down there, they found 50 more prophets, the sons of God. They came out and had the same story to tell. God been speaking to them, too. God has a way of speaking to his people. Don't you know, Elisha, that today, this is your last day with that great man of God. He's going to go up, and you're going to be all by yourself. Yeah, I know it. I know exactly what you're talking about. So, then we're going to read again in verse 5, or verse 6. Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And everywhere he goes, it seems as though he went to Bethel, come back to Jericho, and now he's going to the Jordan River. God has his purpose, and Elijah's not on his own, not from the time he got that first call to go up to Ahab's house. He's not been on his own. He's not been going his direction. Look back at your life, and I'll look back at mine. And could you say that from the time God called me, God anointed me, God saved me, that I've been following him and not going my way? Very few of us could say that, but Elijah could. Been going God's way. So what about that time he ran from Jezebel and he fled? And remember, he was under a tree and the angels fed him. Well, I preached that message before, too. I never heard it preached before like that, but I'll preach again one of these days, Lord willing. That was of God, too. That was the way that God fed him. He lasted 40 days and got him to the mouth of God so he could speak to him and give him those final three charges. Go to anoint Hazael, king of Syria. I've got work for that pagan king to do. Go to Jehu. I've got work for him to do. And go tell Elisha, that final voice that God spoke, and give him directions. We need to find a place where we can get with God and get his directions. Elijah had. And now he said, God sent me to Bethel, and he did. God sent me to back to Jericho, and he did. And now God's sending me to Jordan. Won't you just stay here, son? We've had a hard day. It's been a long journey. Just stay here. But Elijah's not about to stay there. He says in verse 6, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they met with those 50 men. Then those 50 men were so sure that they knew, they went up on the mountain somewhere where they could look and see those two great men of God, and their eyes were not taken off them. They were going to view this action that God's going to do to Elijah as he takes him up to heaven. Very unusual, of course. Enoch was not, because he walked with God, and God took him. Moses, remember, died, and God buried him, wouldn't let no one find out where the grave was. That was a most unusual death. But Enoch and Elijah didn't have to face death. They went on to be with the Lord. It's an amazing thing. God does what he wants to, when he wants to, if he wants to. And verse 8 says, as they were standing by Jordan, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, his final act with that mantle. It was flung on Elisha at one time. But one time he wrapped his face in it when he was up on top of the mountain. That mantle has been something that when God gave it to him, a symbol of authority, a symbol of anointing. He never disappointed God with that authority. What a charge. Men of God, and pastors in particular, have been given a lot of authority by God. We need to use it wisely, as God would have us use it. But use it with the authority that God gave us, and then God will bless it and anoint it. He's going to do his last mighty act now. He takes that mantle and he wraps it together and he smites the water of Jordan. What a miracle. Notice what happens to the Jordan River. He smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. That wasn't a first for God. Remember, God had parted the Red Sea and let those 2 or 3 million Jews cross with all the children and all the cattle and all the ox carts. That took all that long, and God just held the waters up. That just does, I mean, I know that's a miracle, but if God made it all and hung it out there and put it all in motion, I just can't see that holding the waters up in the Red Sea on dry ground would be a problem for God. The breath of God, because he is God. And so God gave him the authority and the power in that mantle that when he smote it, the God of the waters caused the waters to go hither and thither. Now, Jordan is a moving stream, depending on where you are. It could be fast moving stream. I was baptizing Miss Joyce in it and almost lost her. She was floating downstream on me. And it's a moving stream, but yet God holds the water back. That's not the first time he did that either. When the children of Israel were going over to Gilgal, that's the first time they're going to camp, and this is significant too. Because Gilgal is the first camp they made, the children of Israel, after they crossed the Jordan. And God let that water stand up on heaps when all those children of Israel went over again on dry ground. And the Bible says that was in flood season, in rain season. And that wasn't a problem for God. All that water for hours and hours, river just stops, banks up. And when you look at these miracles and the God of the miracles, and then you look at your problems, and I look at my so-called problems. What are they to God? When you get his attention, and when you're in his will, there is nothing impossible with God. It's all about the authority. Remember, the mantle represents authority that God gave us. And did not God give us authority to ask anything in my name? And that will I do. If you ask in faith, believing, and you don't want to consume it upon your own lust, but you ask it that would be God's will, and it will glorify him and not let any glory whatsoever be for you, then anything you ask in my name, that will I do. Well, you have authority. I give to you the keys of the kingdom. What is loosed on earth, be loosed in heaven. Use the authority God has given us.
the prayer life He has given us, the Word of God, the position as a husband over your family or a mother for your children, or the position that God has given you in church, whatever it may be, as a prayer warrior, we have some authority God-given. And by the way, God does back up His authority. Elijah did not know exactly, I'm sure, how fast that would happen. But yet he knew that if God told him to do it, and as soon as that mantle hit the mighty Jordan, there's going to be some water splashing going on immediately. And so they went over on dry ground. Now, look at the setting. They're over on the west side. Look at the Jordan River. Picture it in your map. I should have a map of it. And Bethel is on the east side. And Gilgal is where they went over and camped the first time. And now Bethel also is on the east side, but now they're on the east side and they smoke the waters and they're going over to the other side, to the Jordanian side, as it is now. It wasn't Jordan then. So they're walking over on dry ground. And I asked myself a question, and I'm not sure I know the answer. What was the purpose of them crossing the Jordan River? And I think we're going to find the answer in the text. Remember, they went to Bethel. There was a reason. 50 prophets up there. Needs a final message. They went back down to Jericho. 50 prophets down there need a final message. Now, those 50 prophets were up on the hillside looking, observing. Oh, we need to look at the people of God that's doing anything for God and observe and learn that we serve a mighty God. And the text says, and it came to pass, verse 9, when they were gone over, now remember they're going from the east side to the west side, that Elijah says unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And as you read the text, don't think for a minute that it was the power of Elijah that was going to give it to him. No, no, no. Remember, he was the one in authority under God, and God had told him, you ask in my name, and it was God, the authority of God that was going to give him this. Elijah's going in the choir of God, and Elijah's following the direction of God. But don't think for a minute that Elijah had the power to give somebody else within himself. Power is to be given by God. Elijah is just the voice. Just like the first time when he went to Elisha and cast his mantle on him. And Elisha caught up with him and says, I want to follow you, but let me go kiss my brethren, my mother and father. He said, what's it to me? You do what you want to. It's between you and God now. But now he is interceding to God on his behalf. He says it's going to be a hard thing. But really, there's nothing hard for God. I want a double portion. Look at the faithfulness that Elisha had. Look at the desire he had. I don't think anyone's going to accomplish anything for God or get anything from God until you have a godly desire in your heart. A dedication. A desire to please Him. Oh, I look back at my life in the time of God's anointed and sent revival. There was a strong desire. It was overwhelming. And God says, I will give you the desires of your heart. If you desire something with all your heart and you're willing to let God do it His way and you get out of the way, He will do it. A strong desire. Elijah is demonstrating a strong desire and dedication. I desire to have a double portion of your spirit. Why? That his name could go down in the history as doing all these miracles he's going to do? Not whatsoever. He sees what can be accomplished when someone's sold out to God and he wants to be that someone. Elijah's going to be leaving. He sees the need. He sees those 50 prophets. He sees those 50 prophets up at Bethel, those 50 prophets down at Jericho. He sees Israel in a backslid condition. He knows the need of the land. He's been traveling for a few months now with a lot. He knows the need. God has given him a dedicated desire, and he is just desiring to have the power to use for God. Not one time did he ever use it for his own self. It was always to be used for God. And this power that he's going to receive is so much that he even remember later on when they were encamped and the Syrians were all around, and because they've been hunting for Elisha, trying to put him to death, and now they found him. They had him surrounded. Got up that morning, and his servant says, "We're in big trouble now." "How come?" "Look around us. Just two of us and a great number of them." Elisha just kind of leaned back, I believe, and says, "Lord, open his eyes." He saw the host of horses and the host of the chariots of fire. God's fire. And the servant, no doubt, said, "I'm not worried anymore." He could see. God let him to see things that you and I don't see. Doesn't mean they aren't there. He just hasn't given us the power to see them as he did Elisha. Why? Because he had a dedicated desire and he wanted to get something from God to be used of God to bring glory to God. And he's going to receive it. Another time, remember when Gehazi, his servant, desired and got greedy and went back to Naaman and says, my master changed his mind. He wants some of that gold and silver that you offered him, which was a lie. Elisha's miles away, but God lets him hear the conversation and see what's going on, even though he's out of eyesight. That's because he desired to be what God wanted him to be. And so he's asking for it. In faith, believing, he really thinks he's going to receive it. And I got to ask you a question. Do you think he would have received it if he had one little doubt that he would receive it? My answer to you is no. Believe in thine heart, your whole heart. Did not Jesus say, "I could do not many miracles because of unbelief"? If we don't believe God can and will, oh, I know we say, "Well, I know God has the power to do it." I don't know if he'll do it or not. That's not faith. Faith is believing that God can and will do the impossible. Do what is needful. Open doors that can't be opened. So we keep reading. He's asking now. Elijah knows it's possible. He says it's a hard thing, but he knows full well it's not a hard thing for God to give that to his servant. And Elijah says, "Let me have that double portion." Verse 10 says, "And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." You got to go back to the theme of the text tonight to analyze that and say, faithfulness. Don't take your eyes off the things of God. Don't waver from the book. My favorite verse, sometimes preachers, I don't know why, ask me to sign their Bible and put a verse in there. Jude, my favorite verse. And the scripture says that in the Word of God, we have to understand that the apostles, the early church, they did things right. And when you and I look at the early church and the Word of God, we have to have the faith to believe that what God has done in the Word of God, he's going to do again, and he won't change it. And I always believe with all my heart that we can't go a different way than the Word of God says. We have to earnestly contend in our heart, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith. Stand up for the faith. God's not going to change it in these last days. What God gave to Paul and Peter and James and John, that's what we have to contend by. And I know it's not popular this day and time with modern society and liberalism. Want to change some things, but no, earnestly contend for the same faith. And now Elisha wants the same faith and same power that Elijah had, but he wants a double portion of it to do more. I remember Dr. J. Harold Smith. I don't know why I keep referring to him. When his little boy got burned up in Greenville, South Carolina, little Tommy, and he told God, his whole life was ahead of him. He was about 4 years old. His whole life was ahead of him. And whatever he had planned for him to do, he won't be around to do it. Would you allow me, from here on out, as long as you let me live, do what you had planned for me and what you had planned for him too? A double portion. And if you study the life of Dr. Smith, I believe he heard that prayer. I believe he anointed him and let him do twice as much as he would. Elisha's asking a hard thing, but he believes it's going to happen. He believes it as much as he believes anything that's going to happen. Only thing you can't do is waver. You got to keep your eyes on the power of God. Don't take your eyes. Same is true for you and I. If you want power with God, if you want favor with God, you got to keep your eyes on him. You can't be two-eyed, look at the way the world does it and look at the way God wants you to do it. You just got to do it his way. That's the only way it's going to work. That's the hard thing. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. Explain it, I can't. And no one else has ever written books can explain it. This is the Word of God. God caused a supernatural thing to happen, and Elijah was carried away. And then going, he dropped the mantle. Elisha had his eyes on it and saw it. He's not going to depart from it. He's not going to waver from it. He's not going to be distracted by anybody or anything. He's got to have that mantle, which represents the authority and the power of God. And he knows full well, if he gets it, 100% sure, he's going to receive that which he desired, a dedicated desire, a faith thing that God said, I'll give you if you act in faith. He believed it. Verse 12 says, and Elisha saw it. Isn't the Word of God really simple? It's complicated for him, but simple to understand. What was the arrangements that Elisha had to have to receive a double portion? Not just see it with your eyes, but to believe it in your heart. That wasn't hard to do. And he did it. And he saw it. And he believed that when he picked it up, he'd have that same power. He really did. And the Bible says, and horses afar in verse 12, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, not talking to Elijah anymore. He's talking to the God of Elijah. The chariot of Israel, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. His own clothes he had, which was a sign of humility, a sign of brokenness, a sign of humbleness. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he shall lift thee up in due time. We don't exalt ourselves, we humble ourselves. Any lifting up to do, it'll be the authority God gives us. It'll be him in us. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now remember, they're over on the Jordanian side now. They'd walked over there. Significant too. That's where the children of Israel were camped out. and getting right with God, because they knew better than to try to go into the Jordan or into the land of Israel to receive the things of God without being circumcised and pure and clean. And this place represents a cleansing, a beginning. And now that's the side they were on. He picks up that mantle that went across so they could go back across so they could exercise the power of God. He took the mantle and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had spit in the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elijah went over. They just went over to the place where it all began with children of Israel, where they were camped, where they had to be concentrated, where they had to be dedicated, where they had to be right with God in every regard before God to let them enter into the promised land. Now Elisha has received it. He's got no further business over there. Wants to get back over there on the action side, where the Bethel is, where the Jericho is, where the things of God is, and where the prophets is. That's where he's going to do business. And now he wants to get back over there, the same way Elijah got him over there. And he smote it, and they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over and closed. And look at verse 15. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, Jericho's not all that far from Jordan River, they were in a place where they could see what was happening. They saw him. They said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Lastly, when the power of God is on an individual, it will be witnessed and it will be manifest. It will be seen. Don't have to advertise. You don't have to put it on your forehead or on your lapel. When God anoints someone and they're used of God, it will be visible. It will be manifest. These 50 prophets knew that they knew. Why? They'd seen the power of God in action for the man of God. Would you stand in that? Your head's bound. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this portion of your word. You're still looking for faithful people with dedicated desires, with a burden to do your bidding in these last days. Instead of wringing their hands and saying, "Oh, woe is me, how evil it is," which it is, we should be like Elijah and Elisha in the midst of it, knowing that you have the power, the authority, the unction, and you can use us mightily in these last days. Not because we're anything, because you're everything. And we're just taking up the mantle, the authority that you gave us, the book that you gave us, to proclaim and preach the true living word of God. You said it would accomplish that which you want it to accomplish. That's all we need to know. If we're dedicated and we have that desire to please you, and we're found in the center of your will, and we preach the word, the accomplishing will be because of what you want to happen, not what we want to happen. And we bless your name. We love you, Father. We thank you, God, for this time together and for this wonderful book that we have. Gives us assurance that you're in control. You've always been in control. You're still in control. You will never relinquish that control. We love you, and we thank you that we can call you Lord. Give us, Lord, that which you would have us to have. Don't even know what to ask for so many times and how to pray. But, Father, we just know that if we get our heart right and we desire to please you, you will open doors. And, Father, I'm going to follow you. As Elisha said, "As the Lord God liveth, I'm going to follow you with all my heart." Give me the power, the unction, the dedication, and the health to do it, Father. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Will the musicians please come? Play whatever God puts on your heart. Altar's open. The dedicated desire, keep your eyes on him. In this world, trouble, ridicule, the devil will see to it that there's trouble comes up, people against you. Religion's always been against us. It never did hinder what Christ wanted to do, though, did it? He had his eyes on Calvary, and there he went at the right time. Whatever your needs are tonight, altar is open.